This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Pete Dillon.
Good evening, Serena Ryan.
How are you?
Look, for a Tuesday, not too badly.
I had a flu injection today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Does it hurt? I don't care for having an unnecessary injection.
It was a bit owie, but I got a lollipop.
Oh, well, it's always nice to get a lollipop. And yeah. Other fun things happened today?
Well, for those of you that are on my Facebook page, I had an interesting moment on an escalator today.
Right.
I was travelling upward.
Right,
and
in an direction.
Gaily forward. And I felt this rather pleasant vibration.
In what part of one's...
In my nethers.
Oh, you did not.
Yes, I'm standing there with my headphones on and
so you've achieved nothing for the rest of the afternoon.
Absolutely, just totally in the zone going, this is a bit pleasant. And then I looked at my watch and I thought, I've got a bit of time to burn. So I did a couple of more laps. Walked into where I needed to be.
Looking
just
slightly flushed.
Looking like the cat had eaten the cream. I need to go home and vandalise myself. Oh, honestly, it was hilarious.
I can just see you doing it too. You would have looked very discreet with the sunnies on, just up and down, sort of with this little mild hum going on. I think that's so funny.
I can highly recommend the Parliament Station, people.
Oh, see, I do that all the time. Was it the two lots of escalators?
Double whammy.
That seemed to go for like a week and a half.
Totally delivered.
Oh, it's insane.
Oh, look at me it's go, insane. Love. It was fantastic. It just made up for having to get up early and go into the city for something that I just couldn't bother going to. So that's quite pleasant on arrival.
Look, lots and lots to get through. We want to talk a little bit about Chris Pine and who he caught up with and how that's all affecting the
it's
Peter Slipper
affair. It's a follow-up to the Peter Slipper stuff, yeah. There's a gay Adventist man has been... ousted for promoting same-sex beliefs in a local church, the Gateway Adventist Centre.
They're a bit strange.
The church has closed down a language school for international students because its founder is supporting gay marriage.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, good on him.
Yeah, he's a celibate gay man or something. I don't know. It seems all a bit...
I don't speak celibacy as a language.
We're also going to talk a little bit about Jim Wallace. As much
it's
as
never
we
a little
to.
Bit, Pete. It's always a lot when it comes to Mr. Wallace.
He's just an evil personified.
You know, spewing some bile into the punch.
Yes, as always. And then lots of international news again. We want to follow up quickly on a den mother, a scout mother who's been ousted, and some alleged talk from Romney some time ago that he says it's fine for the gays to be in the scouts.
It's interesting because I think that's a little bit far away from what he believes now.
Now, yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. That's provided some really interesting traction because she's in the press, you know, publicly thanking him for these views that he's previously held. Mm. So that creates a little bit of dissonance for him,
it
I think,
does.
Which I quite like.
Yes. Also, we talked a while ago about a letter drop from the Catholic Church in Britain. Now they're asking Catholic schools, to the kids in schools, to get involved with this, which is just absolutely outrageous. Brave young fellow in Phoenix we'll talk about as well. We're going to chat to Roz Ward as well. Now, she's from the Safe Schools Coalition, and they've got a film competition for the International Day Against Homophobia, which is happening in May. So we're going to have a bit of a chat to her about how people under the age of 21 can make some films and submit for this competition.
And also we're going to be talking about a news item about some pro-rape comments from a radio DJ in Ohio. So lots coming up. I think we'll kick off with something a little bit... little bit up in tempo
Poppy?
Tonight. Yeah.
What have you chosen?
I've chosen I Am What I Am.
Oh, I love it. Whose version?
I don't know. I just chose
it. I hope it's John Barrowman's. I get a bit excited about
it. It's terribly flamboyant. And it's probably a little bit boppy for just 11:05 at night on Salt and Pepper on Joy.
You should be listening to that when you're lying in bed, having a bit of a nod off.
You know.
We'll be back.
Let's see how we go.
I am what I am, I am my own special creation. So come take
look.
Oh my goodness, I so want to be belting that out.
I know, you were belting it out whilst Greg and I were talking about if things. We were both of the same gender, we would totally have sex with each other.
This is Greg, the man, our control man.
Also known as the button monkey.
Yes, yes. I don't care to use that.
Oh, you've used it many a time. Yes. Don't take the moral high ground with me,
that
homo.
That was, of course, the fabulous John Barrowman with I Am What I Am.
Not as boppy as I'd planned. No. I thought I'd chosen a different version, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it's a show tunes boy from way back then.
Oh, and I think you referred to him as being gayer than Moomba.
Yes, without doubt. We might need to have an intro, please, Greg.
Some intro to our news. What do you reckon?
2285 if it's no trouble.
Oh, it's all fun and games in here tonight.
Shits and giggles,
honestly,
it?
What is it? It's about... It's probably about 7 minutes past 11 on Salt
and
Pepper.
These clocks aren't that easy to read, are they?
I don't actually think it's about the readability. I think it's about our failing eyesight,
yes, at this
to be
late
honest.
Stage. New glasses for me this week.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm getting two pairs, a day pair and an evening pair.
Oh, I've got a driving pair, my driving Miss Daisy pair.
Yes.
And then I've got a pair for just being out, you know, being fabulous.
Mm. Yes, well, that'll be my evening wear.
They might get a fabulous one. A little bit of bling.
Some school news. Tell us about the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay, so they're a church in Melbourne, and they've closed down their language school for international students, migrants and refugees because its founder publicly supported gay marriage. Now, the founder of this this arm of the school is Mr. Keith Pulusi, and he's, you know, that he is on Facebook, he's out in the press saying he promotes it. He's a confessed celibate, you know, professes his celibacy, and he's also a homosexual.
Right.
It's an outreach service of the church, and it closed on the 15th of April, so 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Wong is
sounds like a brand of whiskey out of China.
It's just so Wong. Okay, so he is the Gateway Chief's elder. And he told Mr. Pulusi in an email that he would give the church a bad name. You know, this guy is a retired psychologist. He's he was told by another church member that a Gateway elder was spreading a rumor about him that he was a pedophile, and he's just been vilified for his sexuality. So he's had the police called on him after he tried to address a mostly student congregation at a worship service, and he was arrested and ordered not to attend for 4 months. So he's ostracised, stigmatised, and all this is around Johnny Wong's very big resistance to the discussion he had around promotion of same-sex marriage on his own Facebook page.
This is absolutely outrageous, and this Johnny Wong and his mob of whack jobs probably just need to leave this poor guy alone. Now, we did try and get in touch with Mr. Pulusi.
We did, and in the email, just before we go on to our next item, Mr. Wong said, "Recently I noticed you've been getting involved with gay and lesbian issues, and this is a concern to me personally. Directing your energy to soul winning would be more profitable, i.e. getting Bible students and bringing them step by step to Jesus." So obviously our souls are lost, Pete.
Oh, mine's been lost for a terribly long time, wandering the wilderness, all of its very own volition.
No desire to find mine, if that's the case.
No.
Okay, so look, this reminds me a little bit of John Rutton, who we interviewed around his ostracism from Margaret Court's church in, you know, all over Australia. So what's happening in WA in relation to her?
Well, there was a rally for the preservation of marriage at Court's Victory Life Church Centre last weekend. That was in conjunction with the Australian Family Association, who we know also to be a bunch of whack job bigoted type folk. But there were about 70 demonstrators present at having their own pro-gay marriage rally. And I believe there was some glitter bombing taking place.
I don't mind a bit of glitter bombing.
Well, it sort of seems a bit weak to me. I don't know. It just doesn't strike me as well. You throw some glitter at someone with your left hand and it looks like you throw like a boy or a girl. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I think it's the intention of embarrassing someone that I think is what they're trying to achieve. Mm. I'm a pacifist, so any violence for me is I'm really against it. You know, the notion of throwing some glitter, it always makes the press.
Well, what I like about this story is the line in the story. Glitter was liberally chucked at some of the gay marriage blocking rally attendees.
That's highbrow journalism. Liberally chucked.
Liberally chucked. I thought that was beautiful. Now, do tell us about, while we're on this religion thing and we're going to be bagging people, there's nobody greater than Jim Wallace to have a jolly good red hot go at.
Yes, well, he's written his latest diatribe. It's roughly, I don't know, 600-700 words long.
Far too many words long.
Indeed. It was published on The Punch yesterday morning.
Yes. And on The Punch.
On The Punch. Look, I'm really surprised, and we did contact The Punch for an interview, but they've not come back. And that's not, it's not because we wanted to give them a shellacking, but rather I wanted to talk to them around where does the editorial responsibility lie? You know that, that's a really big bugbear for you and I. Mm. What is it that they think they're achieving in publishing these types of articles? Because the
I guess, conversely, the Christian lobby could say, why do you constantly, or why would you publish something
stuff.
Gay? Yeah. So yeah. I sort of get that, but it's...
Let me tell you about the article.
Yeah, it's vicious.
Okay, its byline is gay marriage is threatening our freedom of faith. And basically, there's too much of it to go through, but he talks about anybody who's gay or supportive of same-sex equality is a political activist or a gay activist or a bully, and says that there's no more than 1.5% of Australians who are homosexual.
Well, he needs to read up on some statistics.
He does. And he's also saying that most of the online polls are rigged, which I think is hilarious, given how much they totally ambush any site that calls for an online survey.
And this is from Jim Wallace and the Australian Christian Lobby, is a whole bunch of sour grapes after the success of both the House of Reps and the Senate inquiries into same-sex marriage that we talked about last week.
I know. It's just, listen to this. Governments cannot afford to create vulnerability for people of faith when the mischievous intent of many of the activists pursuing this agenda is so obvious. And the second is that falsely contrived support for gay marriage will not be relevant in the privacy of the polling booth. That's a really big call. He's saying that everybody who walks into a polling booth doesn't give a toss about marriage equality. And he's saying that there is a trail of deception around the way that we're lobbying for marriage equality.
Right. I'd like to have a bit of a word to Jim Wallace, because I've done some further research. You know how I'm always banging on that there are six verses out of 31 plus thousand in the Bible. I've looked at those six verses, and none of those things were uttered by their head man, by the Jesus fella.
Mm, I know.
They're all muttered by other people. So They probably need to go back and have a jolly good look in their good book that they quote from, and actually have a look at those verses, look at them in the context that they are in, and tell me that that makes sense.
I think more than that, the prevailing theme within this article that he's written is that this creates a real vulnerability for the freedom of faith and religious conscience. Now, what I want to ask Jim Wallace is, when you get out of bed every morning and you know that I'm a lesbian and I want to marry, how does that affect your day? Step by step, walk me through the knowledge of that at the beginning of the day and how that affects the way you experience your day, and how does that impact on your relationship with God?
Yes, well, that would be my question. How does allowing people some dignity and respect affect your relationship with God? And
it's not even about all of those emotive words, because I think that's where we get stuck, because we play the emotion. At the end of the day, how does my right to be an equal citizen impact or impair your relationship with the church and your God? Because that's what he's talking about.
Well, I think he's got a very tenuous grip on his faith and his relationship with God if he believes that it can be challenged by you and I being happy.
I know. Look, we've got to go to some messages, and then we'll come back and keep banging on.
Yeah, we will.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, go for that.
Okay. And we're back.
We are. And joining us on the phone from La Trobe University and the Safe Schools Coalition of Victoria is Ros Ward. Ros, good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
Now, we wanted to talk about the Idaho short film competition that you're overseeing, and get you to explain to some of our younger listeners what they can do to enter the competition and what some of the parameters are that you're looking for.
Okay. So it's a brand new competition for Idaho Day this year. So we're asking anyone under the age of 21 or up to the age of 21 to make short films of up to 3 minutes. And basically the theme is that goes along the same lines as the Minus 18 and Safe Schools Coalition posters that say, some boys like boys, some girls like girls, some like both. That's the theme. And you can use any kind of filmmaking equipment. It doesn't have to be high-tech. It can be your phone or whatever. And it has to fit around that theme, and that's it, really. So it's a really broad scope for young people to be as creative as you want to be around that theme.
So tell us the thinking behind promoting this as the platform this year. This is obviously the theme. It's got a same-sex bi, trans, queer flavour to it. How did you arrive at promoting this as this year's platform?
Well, we're just thinking about, from Safe Schools Coalition perspective, the kind of resources that are available for schools to use to promote Idaho Day and to talk about Idaho Day. And having a short film to show in an assembly or in lessons and that kind of thing is a really great way to engage people in a really punchy, quick way, and to have young people who've made that film for other young people to watch in schools, we just thought would be a fantastic kind of combination.
Idaho obviously stands for the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, so we probably should have prefaced that a little earlier. Serena's a filmmaker, and I'm interested on her take with this, because there is so much technology and simple technology at our hands now to make films, iPad, iPhone, well, not necessarily that brand, but those sort of bits of equipment. Is it hard to make a film?
I mean, it's around quality, I think, for a, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ros, but I would imagine, as you've said, it's not going to matter what they submit on. It's going to be the strength of the story, and it's going to be the strength of the key messaging. I've seen some amazing stuff shot on smartphones and pads and, you know, really, really tiny little GoPros, and I've used them myself in remote countries. I think the technology is fascinating, but am I right in thinking it's going to be about the key messaging and the story?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, and you can do it in a group, or you can get some help if you're involved in a particular same-sex attracted, like, youth group or whatever, or from your school. But it could just be one young person on their own filming themselves talking about something that matters to them around this theme. And that in itself can be really powerful. I mean, you look at the resonance that the It Gets Better campaign has had on YouTube, and they're really short films, just one person speaking to a camera. So really any kind of, I think, yeah, the message is really important, the story that they want to tell and the impact that they think that might have on other young people.
And these young filmmakers don't necessarily have to be gay, bisexual, lesbian, transgender or questioning. They can be heterosexual kids.
They can be, yeah, any as long as they're up to the age of 21.
Yep.
And they stick to the theme, then, yeah, we're not going to be, yeah. It can be anyone, really. Yeah.
Okay, and so you're planning to roadshow these winning or selected or preferred entrants in schools?
We are, yep. And so Safe Schools Coalition now has 60 schools that have signed up to be members of it. So we have already an audience there, but at least those 60 schools that will receive the films, and hopefully a lot of them will show them. So they're already preparing to be able to show the films on May 17th or around May 17th. So it's a pretty short time window, but I reckon people can do it. I think people have a sense of a story that they want to tell. And if you think of it like from the perspective of what would I like to tell all my friends at school about the fact that some boys like boys and some girls like girls and some like both.
And these stories that come from the heart.
There's lots of messages, yeah.
As you say, telling those stories shouldn't present too much of a difficulty. Ros, is there a website or somewhere where people can go and have a look at the parameters around the competition and see if they're eligible?
Yep, all the information is on the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria website, which is just sscv.org.au.
Excellent.
And it should be up on the Minus 18 website as well soon, but I'm not quite sure it is. But yeah, it's definitely on the Safe Schools Coalition website.
And do people have to pay to enter?
No, it's absolutely free. We're just asking people to upload onto an unlisted YouTube link,
mm-hmm.
or somewhere else that they can send me the link, and the films will be judged by young people as well from YGLAM, the Queer Youth Theatre Group,
mm-hmm.
who've made some amazing animations. If people want a bit of inspiration, if you look up YGLAM Queer Youth Theatre on YouTube, they've got some amazing animated short films to get a bit of inspiration.
Fantastic. Look, it sounds like such a wonderful thing that you're doing to promote some really safe same-sex messaging in schools.
And some positive messaging.
And some positive stuff, you know, and getting people to own the material and own the messages. It's, you know, it's a really good thing that you're doing. Well done. We wish you the very best of luck.
Great. Thanks very much.
And thanks very much, Ros, for joining us tonight.
That's Ros Ward. She's from the Safe Schools Coalition. That's just such a good thing.
I think it's great, you know, but as she was describing it, I was thinking about my time at high school and what that would have been like to see same-sex messaging. I felt a little bit kind of really I was really inspired by what she said, but I was also kind of worried. And that's really old stuff for me. Yeah. That's my old high school closeted stuff going on. And isn't it wonderful how far we've come?
Oh, absolutely. And it's competitions and organisations like the Safe Schools Coalition that really make us realise that in, you know, a few short years, things are very, very different to when you and I were at school.
And yet in politics, things aren't that different. So we're going to go to a song now, and I think it's a bit of Queen. It's a kind of magic.
Oh, well, that's what we like.
And then we're going to talk about Mr. Christopher Pan.
Yes.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic.
You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. It's crawling its way up to around 11:30-ish.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
We never like to be precise. We like to just land in the ballpark.
Yes, we like to think somewhere between 20 past 11 and 20 to 12.
It's before midnight because we're still here. So, look, if you want to send us a tweet, by all means do that on Salt and Pepper Joy. You can also... send us a text.
Email on air at joy.org.au. Send us a text, 0427-JOY949.
Thanks, Pete. That's it, really. That's all from me. Let's talk about Christopher Pine.
Well, this is a story that's come out late this afternoon that we talked about Peter Slipper last week and the accusations against Peter Slipper by a young staffer who is openly gay.
James Ashby.
James Ashby, correct. Who has a very sullied and tarnished record as it is. Mr. Ashby met with senior Liberal frontbencher Christopher Pine the night before the text messages started. With
March 19 at about 9:30 p.m. Yes. This is alleged stuff. This is terribly precise.
And they drank together for 2 hours in the Speaker's office. When Mr. Slipper returned to the office, Mr. Pine left. The next day, or a month later, all the allegations were made, but the text messages started the next day between Peter Slipper and Mr. Ashby. And when we talked about this, there was something very Godwin Gretsch. There was something very... I smelled a rat, and it's been bugging me ever since. So when I saw this news this afternoon, I quite literally leapt out of a chair and said, I knew it. I knew it. And it just cracks me up that it's Christopher Pine, because there's been a lot of innuendo and suggestion around Christopher Pine. I don't want to go into that because it's not our bag. But it was just quite... it's interesting seeing Christopher Pine having to respond now to why he met with the Speaker's junior staffer, why he spent 2 hours drinking with him.
He's saying that he has nothing to hide and that he was simply passing the time of day and that they had a beer and a political discussion. James Ashby has come back and said, look, I say hello to all of the people when we go into the same drinking area. It's just how it is.
But this was in the Speaker's office.
I know. It seems terribly contrived, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I almost got excited and I thought someone has to take Christopher Pine to task and ask him to tell the truth, because I don't believe that the truth has been told in this story this afternoon. It's my personal opinion, not the opinion of the station or anybody else in this studio.
But politicians are liars, so that's the default setting. We just have to assume that nothing they tell us is of the truth. Yes. Someone who does speak the truth,
here she is.
She is. Miss Noni is here in the house, and she's looking fabulous.
As always.
Noni Hazelhurst is here, Pete Dillon. She's doing something odd in her chair.
Yes, yeah, she's
I'm grooving.
She's shaking.
Grooving to the music.
I thought maybe you might be having a small fit.
No. I don't have anything small. I have lots of big things.
Welcome back, my love.
Thanks.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Grosh.
Going up to Marusha.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw them in the paper a couple of weeks ago, and they're looking great.
It's about to be released. And I believe somebody we know is doing a little cameo in that.
Really? Who's that then?
So there's lots of people you know.
Who?
Liam Quinn.
Liam Quinn used to produce for Andy and Adrian. Love him to bits.
Has, of course, his little cafe in Cato Street in Prague.
Yes, he does. I like to eat there. Mm. He's a nice guy. He's got lovely lips. And in fact...
He's got massive lips.
He gave me an impromptu lap dance recently.
Ooh.
Took me quite by surprise.
Did you find that inappropriate?
I did. It didn't gel for me because there was anatomy that I was unfamiliar with.
Yes. Something that will become a lasting memory, do you think?
Oh, all of my, you know...
Lap dances will become lasting
memories. Well, they are, and, you know... No, there's been a few that have been a little odd, yes. and that's certainly up there. Memories, yes. I've been feeling a little bit reflective of late.
Oh, here we go.
No, I just, you know, it's... I think as I move into winter, I start to... I have a real seasonal issue, you know, with winter and the way that it makes me feel that the world is ending.
Oh, and are you preparing for your hibernation of sorts?
I think I might be. Mm. I think I might be. And I get very nesty and I start chucking stuff out and I just trawl through stuff and go, oh, that just makes me think nice things. I'm not overly reflective on anything in particular other than I'm just thinking of things.
Because you spend more time in the home through winter, do you think?
Well,
I don't know that
will be the case this winter, but I'm doing everything I can to avoid Melbourne in winter. But I think there is something about the changing of the seasons. And we talked about gear shifts a couple of weeks ago, and I think for me, I'm ridiculously sentimental. So if I come across something that, you know, I'm chucking out or moving through or just...
I don't know how people live a minimal lifestyle. I don't know how people live in places that have no evidence of their experiences around them. I'm pretty much over in the other direction.
My whole house has got memories all on the walls and...
Important, I think.
Mm.
It's a blueprint of your life.
Oh, absolutely. I've been going through stuff of late and I've thrown out a lot of things, but there are things I certainly just went part with. My there's a little egg cup that sits in my cupboard that's made out of one piece of wood from a tree, and that was my father's, and it was given to my father when he was born.
Wow.
And it's just this little dinky wooden egg cup, but I can't part with it, not for a second.
Well, it's not just about the egg cup, is it?
No, absolutely not. I never use it as an egg cup. I don't boil eggs. I like to fry my eggs.
Bring on the heart disease, love.
No, I actually eat poached eggs. But it's just what, that thing that I can see almost every day. Just open the cupboard and there it is.
But selective memory is a funny thing too, isn't it? Like Charlie, my son, tells me he can't remember anything about his early childhood, which I just find...
It's fascinating, really.
Staggering. I remember being born.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't really remember anything before about the age of five, bits and pieces. Yeah, I just don't remember that much.
Gosh,
I remember lots. And I was younger than one when man walked on the moon, and I remember, I have this memory of us crowded around a little black and white television and watching it. Now, whether that's a formed memory because...
You were told you were there.
That was the time and all of that. But I have this memory of seeing that, and I was not yet one.
I wonder if, because you guys both had brothers and sisters, and my brother, I had one brother who was 12 years older, so I wonder whether my memories are more acute of my very little childhood because there wasn't much going on around me. You know, it was just me and my parents. There was no cousins or nieces and nephews or aunties or uncles or grandparents.
Yeah, but see, I had all of
that. See, I had none of that either. I had.
But you had brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but my oldest brother and sister are 8 and 10 years older than me, so didn't feature that prominently.
Yeah.
There goes that theory. Yeah. And we're migrants, so in this country we don't have any extended family. It is what it is. So we had that sort of, I don't know, the logical family where, you know, people are in your life for a long time and they get the honorary aunt and uncle title. And, you know, they have their own memories as well, but...
And they give you your own memories. I'm sort of going to debunk your theory as well. There was a lot going on in our house.
I don't know why I'm here, really.
No, there was so much going on in our house and extended family and all of that, but I just have really sharp and very vivid memories from when I was very little.
Yeah, I do really.
We used to go to the drive-in a lot when I was a kid, and I always, whenever I think of boiled lollies... I think of how my dad would go to the drive-in and we'd take beanbags in the summer.
Mm.
And mum and dad would be in the car having a snog and a bit of a grope.
Ooh,
foul.
Fancy.
And we'd be in the beanbags and my dad would always buy this kilo box of toffees and boiled lollies.
Kilo?
A kilo
that's a
box.
House. It probably only cost about 90
total,
cents.
It's a total commitment to nightmare behaviour when we got home. And you know, Fanta. I think of Fanta and boiled lollies and that for me... evokes this real sense of balmy summery nights and beanbags and movies.
And stickiness.
And stickiness.
Lots of stickiness. But why
not
do people...
in a good way either.
It's really interesting when you read someone's autobiography, someone who's kept a diary or something, and you realise how little you do remember because you haven't diarised it.
Have you read Roland Rocchicelli's?
No.
I read his
weekly column.
I've had to read it again, and it's all about his very early childhood.
Is he a diarist?
Yeah. Single mum. Just extraordinary memory and being, again, a migrant family.
Wow.
It's a really, I'll loan it to you. It's a really good read.
Yeah, well, I found a travel diary from when I went to China in the 80s, one of the few diaries I've ever kept. And it was extraordinary how much I'd forgotten.
Mm.
I mean, it was like reading someone else's story.
Yeah.
I thought, my God, I have no memory of that whatsoever.
Serena, do you diarise stuff?
It's funny, I don't. Mm. I was a prolific diary keeper when I was a teenager.
And dear I used diary, to, locked you know, up in the bedroom.
Dear diary. And, you know, I found those diaries sort of about 15 years ago.
And is it like someone else wrote them? Or is it, do you still remember yourself writing?
I just didn't recognise the person in it. It was the narcissistic, neurotic scramblings of a freaking teenager, angst-ridden, and, oh, my God, it's all about me. And my take on the world and my, you know, total self-absorption, which is what you're meant to be when you're that
teenager,
age. And, you know, with everything that was going on sort of sexuality-wise, and it was such a terribly confusing time, I burnt them all.
You burnt them?
Yep.
Wow.
What about when it comes time to write your autobiography?
Well, you know, no, there won't be a big gap because
you'll have those memories.
Because I've got those memories, but what I have those memories now are couched within a maturity of reflection and all of that, and I think that I can interpret that stuff a bit better now, a lot better.
Mm.
When I was a kid, it was, anyone who reads it, was like the diary of Adrian Mole on acid, you know.
Age 9 3/4. I'm thinking I should start writing about my early life and my life, only for the fact that with my mum having dementia, and it's obviously something that's hereditary in our family, and I'm wondering whether I should start writing just so that there is a story there for whoever comes next and you know wants to read it. Who someone's going to get bored.
Does she have memories? Your mum, can she still?
No,
mum
can't even speak anymore. Oh. There's one word in every 10 you can understand.
Right,
but. Thankfully, we were always very curious kids, so we always asked Mum a lot of questions about her life.
Okay. See, again, I hate to go on about young people, but I think that's something that young people don't do anymore.
Of course they don't, because it doesn't relate to them. My dad's written a book based on his early childhood, you know, growing up from, you know, birth to marriage in Ireland, and it's a fascinating read, and he's a fantastic historian. And my mum has done something similar, but there's a book that you can buy, and you can probably make them yourself, building on what you want to do. It's a series of questions where your parents fill that out, and it becomes a living history.
That's
and
a good
I think
well, I bought one called My Lifetime.
And, absolutely, and it's just a fantastic idea.
Memories from school, memories from most of which were traumatic, but memories from school, memories of you know family holidays. If I ever see a combi van. I start talking about when we were kids, and again, so many of us, that we'd Sunday afternoons, we'd always go for a drive.
Mm.
So the kids would pile into the combi, and we'd go for a drive, and the drive would be, you know, 15 to 20 k's there and 15 to 20 k's back, and, you know, we'd be singing songs from the Seekers, and you know, just hilarious.
It's very Partridge Family.
Yeah, it's terribly Partridge Family, but, you know, I think my parents, without having a lot of money to spend on our entertainment, that was a great way of just parceling us all into the car.
Well, clearly making children was their entertainment.
Yes, that's right. But yes. I worry that kids now, the only form of diary they have is on their phone.
And on Twitter and on Facebook. Facebook.
Yeah, and what happens when, you know, you throw that phone in the toilet and it's drowned.
I turned my phone off on the weekend. I turned it off for a full day on a Saturday a couple of weeks ago. Bloody brilliant.
Mm. I get a bit antsy if mine's not even
alone. I was a little antsy for about the first 20 minutes, and then I just thought, you know what, I don't need it, and everybody I know is okay, and if they're not, I can't do anything about it anyway.
No, but what I'm saying is if a lot of kids are taking records of their lives with their phones, right?
Mm. Yep.
They don't have the equipment to necessarily print up the photographs or, you know, they're not going to have a hard record of things left.
Mm. I think social media is good in this respect because it's allowing people, however mundane and inane, to diarise things that are happening in their lives. And you know, I look back, I've had a Facebook account for 3 or 4 years, or however long it's been around, and I look back and see things that I posted, you know, three or four years ago. Yeah, and it's almost an electronic diary from...
But it isn't, because if you die tomorrow, touch wood.
Yes.
Unless someone has your password...
It's gone.
It's gone.
True.
There was a whole issue in with that's exactly it. It's the passing of that baton of information. Mm. Is that if something happens to us, all of those passwords die.
That's right.
With us.
And I love looking at old photographs of my mother and my grandmother. And yeah. I just love it.
I mean, I'm a real digital photograph girl now. But I have really old, you know, those old photo albums that had the sticky page and the cellophane. I have loads of those at home.
From my sister's wedding.
And I just, I love photos in frames, and I just, the memories that they, it's like Proust's Madeleine, you know, you know, when he talks about biting into that Madeleine and unleashes a raft of childhood memories. Mm. You know, we're creating memories every day. It's just how we choose to access them.
Yes.
And I think in a time-poor society, we have to be actively saying to kids, I remember when this, and I remember when that, because it gives them some sense of who you are and where you've been.
Little bastards.
Yeah.
Thank you, Noni. We've kept you a little longer than we should have. But
sorry, Dallas, you might have missed your bus.
I'll just have to stay here.
All right. That's all right. We'll find you a cup of tea.
Thank you. Good night. Here we go. It's time for the international news. You didn't even know that the mics were on because you were boogieing.
I know. I do have a bit of a boogie.
You were doing that thing with your arms.
It's what the young people do. It is. I do what the young people do. Hey, listen, we talked about an ousted den mother in the Cub Scouts in the United States. Ohio last week. And just a very quick recap. She was thrown out of the Scouts because she was a lesbian. She's had loads and loads of support from the local town. There's a petition now signed by about 25,000 people to have her back.
Which is fantastic. Mm.
But what I thought was an interesting follow-on from that, which sort of revealed its ugly head in the last couple of days, is that Mitt Romney, who is now the presidential nominee for the Republican Party, in a video from 1994, supports the inclusion of gay and lesbian scouts and leaders in Boy Scouts. He says, "I feel that all people should be allowed to participate in the Boy Scouts, regardless of their sexual orientation." He served on the National Executive Board of the Boy Scouts and so forth and so on. This is a little bit sort of incongruous with what Mitt Romney's saying now.
Well, we know that he's not about marriage equality at all. So it's a real about face for him. Isn't it interesting the chameleon nature of the politician, how they'll always change their shape to suit
their
environment.
And he's a Mormon as well. So interestingly back...
It was a big call for him back then. Yeah, in 1994. You know, because same-sex equality didn't have the traction back then that it does now.
That's 8-9 years ago.
Well, yeah, it's a long time ago. Look, speaking of, religious views, which, you know, Mitt Romney holds a few, the Roman Catholic Church has contacted its schools in England and Wales and asked them to encourage pupils to oppose gay marriages and promote traditional heterosexual relationships.
Sorry, can you read that sentence again? Ask children?
Yeah. Yeah, asked its pupils.
To oppose gay marriage and promote traditional heterosexual relationships. Imagine the poor kiddies in that school that did a question.
Homo.
Yep.
Mm. So the Catholic Education Service contacted a total of 385 secondary schools, asked them to circulate a letter defending the traditional definition of marriage. The schools were also invited to promote a petition by the Coalition for Marriage opposing the government's plans to allow homosexuals to marry. So around almost 500,000 people have signed this petition, which is backed by the former Archbishop of Canterbury. So, you know, I'm just, you know, getting really tired of hearing these things like natural institution of marriage and my faith is devalued and all of that. So a pupil at a London school has written into the Pink News website and saying that they're appalled, and I think this is the first of many letters that this website and other websites will start to receive. So, look, I just think it's, you know, the Catholic Education Service has come back and said it's an explanation of marriage and a positive affirmation of marriage, celebrating the huge value that it brings to society. I can accept all of those things because I agree that that's the benefit of marriage. But what they're saying is, you know, they're proud of these values, but they just don't extrapolate them to same-sex attracted couples.
Of course they don't. I just think it's, again, I'm outraged that they're doing this in schools. Where there's obviously
the
going to be
impact, Pete. I mean, mentally, psychologically.
Have they not been reading anything about youth suicide and young people affected by their sexuality? This is only going to make things considerably worse.
We know that, you know, Catholics are all about the guilt, right? That's guilt is kind of a hobby.
Yes.
It's kind of it's part of the gene pool, if you like. And so you get a kid. Yeah, you get a kid that gets the fire and brimstone education, which I got, and you add in the Catholicism and you add in the fear and retribution and the sin, and then you get this nice little propaganda letter.
Yep.
You haven't got a hope in hell of getting square on who you are.
No, of course not.
Shame on them.
Shame on them. But I've got to say a bit of a hurrah for our next story. There's a young high school student in Phoenix who was bullied because he was gay. His name is Keller Blaisky, and he turned 17 in January, and the mayor of his area in Phoenix in Arizona has given him a job as the officer's youth diversity and liaison officer just a couple of weeks ago. So he works to raise awareness about bullying and diversity, and he's also this point person for youth-related issues. I just think this is a really positive story that this kid who suffered is now in a position where he can, you know, probably work to prevent that in some senses. He said his age uniquely qualifies him for the job. I can relate best to other young folks out there. Being youth myself, I feel that this opportunity will allow me to bring a young person's perspective to the administration.
Also had to drop out of school because he was dacked every day, or de-pantsed, as they say it in America.
Yep.
Followed home every day and threatened for being gay. So he lost his education due to homophobia.
Yep. And so, look, I think snaps to Mayor Greg Stanton from this place in Arizona. Yeah, total snaps. and the young fellow, Mr. Laisky, met with President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden last year, to ask them to put in an advisor on LGBT youth issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 17 years old, you met the president and the VP, you're working in the mayor's office. I just think...
You're going to be all right,
you
love.
Know, that's an it gets better story. That's real. That's not a video from somebody that's... I liked it.
I like it a lot. What I like less is a DJ in Ohio.
Oh.
Okay,
what's
so...
What's everything happening in Ohio
I know.
Week?
What's going on?
They've had a whirligig through or something and they're all a bit frazzled.
There's a Cleveland radio station, a morning show, and there's a DJ there that has made a horrifying comment that suggested a man allow his daughter to be raped. So the comment was made by Dominic Dieter, who's a DJ at Cleveland Rock Station, WMMS. So he was discussing with a man, a gentleman had written into the station expressing some concern about his gay daughter, who he thought, he found his kid snogging another girl.
Yep.
And Dieter decided that his sole bit of advice was, and I quote, "You should get one of your friends to screw your daughter straight."
This is...
Promoting
just,
rape.
Yep.
Okay, so the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation is on the job, so that's glad.
Mm.
And they want him suspended. He's not been suspended.
I don't think he should be suspended. I think he should be fired.
He should be fired. He's issued an apology. They've said that it was appalling and dangerous for this show to tell a father that he should have one of his friends rape his daughter. And this is GLAAD's response, sorry. And that's essentially how Dieter responded to the listener. And he's promoting sexual violence. He's promoting, you know, those conversion rapes that we've talked about in the past. And this guy's issued a big apology and I'm so very, very sorry. But, you know, somewhere out there, we can't assume that some kid won't get raped.
Or some kid won't be
think
so
it's okay
in fear,
to rape someone.
Or be so in fear of being a young gay woman. Because
or a young gay lad.
Yeah, it's not okay to be physically or sexually violent to anybody, and that guy just needs to be.
And people wonder why we want equality.
Yes,
because if we were equal, this stuff wouldn't happen.
Yep, it wouldn't happen.
Do you think maybe we need to go to a song soon?
Yeah, very quickly. I just wanted to. There's one more story that did really catch my attention.
Okay.
There is Eric Bishop is his name, and he is the son of a former Ku Klux Klan member.
Q Dusty Springfield.
Yes. who from Kansas. He's the gay son of a former Ku Klux Klan member, and he wants to seat the sitting state rep who is a Democrat with an anti-gay record. So here is this kid who comes from, well, clearly quite a twisted household, who's got Republican ideals, wants to oust the sitting Democrat because he sees the Democrat as anti-gay, and who is himself a young gay son of a KKK member. It's just sort of, it's got something for everyone and it's all happening in Kansas.
And we wish him well.
We do.
And his little dog Toto too.
Yeah. Here's a song called Stupid Mistakes. This is by Darren Hayes.
It's a new one.
I like it.
It's It's that time of the week, Pete Dillon.
It is time to award the Donald, Serena, and I have for you a lengthy list of nominees.
Who are the nominees for the Tool of the Week?
Christopher Pan.
Christopher Pan.
Must get a nomination for, you know, drinking with the fellow. Johnny Wong from the Seventh Day Bike Riders. Mitt Romney. For being a politician.
Being a knob.
Scotland, the opponents of same-sex marriage in Scotland, the campaign by Scotland for Marriage, who are going to do something that failed everywhere else and do a leaflet drop.
We didn't talk about them earlier on, but they are a rogue entry
that we
felt really needed to be talked about.
Yes. The Roman Catholic Church of England and Ohio DJ Dominic Dieter.
Oh, I feel like I need some
music. I actually think Dominic Dieter needs a bullet rather than any sort of award, because this goes beyond Tool of the Week. He's just sick.
So maybe we give him a special award.
Yeah, I don't think that we can use that word on air.
No, we can't. But no. Let your minds wander, people.
Yes, yes.
So we'll give him a special award. Yes. And I think this week's Donald, I'd like to give it to the Roman Catholic Church.
Of England.
Yeah.
Could only have to send one. I only have to get the soldering iron out and whip
it. Look, the amount of damage that they are doing, we can't measure it right now, but we're going to see it in the future.
We are.
And they continue to violate the rights of young people in so many ways.
After they violated so many young people.
I know, indeed. So, look, it is with great pleasure I award the Donald to the Roman Catholic Church in England this week.
You know what I'd like in the way home on the Magna?
What's that, love?
A hot apple pie.
I think I'd like an ice cream.
Let's get one.
All right, love. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Greg.
We'll see you next week.
The sun gone down. Thinking of you's working up an appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make a spark ignite. And the thought of rubbing you is getting so exciting. Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Afternoon delight.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.